Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Mark the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9, and I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And folks, we're in for a great blessing tonight. This is going to be a Jesus time tonight where Christ is lifting up, and I'm so excited about the concert. I hope you'll be here, and also make sure and bring somebody with you tonight. It's going to be a great, great time. John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace. He was born in 1725. His father was a sea captain. John's mother grounded him in Scripture. He loved to study. By the age of 4, he could read. At age 6, he was reading Virgil in Latin. At age 6, he was a brilliant young man. But just a few days before John's 7th birthday, his mother died. He later said of himself that he was industrious. Later on, he said, "I became industrious to serve Satan." He ended up becoming a very immoral man. He said, "I wanted to rank in wickedness among the foremost of the human race." He took to the sea and was forced to join the Royal Navy. He tried to escape but ended up in West Africa, and he eventually became a slave himself to a slave trader. He was hungry and he was humiliated for 2 years. He did escape, and when he did that, he returned to the slave trade, and he was a very profane man. People joked with him that he was like the Jonah of the seas, because whenever there was a problem on a ship, they said it was because of the wicked John Newton that was on that ship. One time, in a very terrible storm, John cried out to God and asked for mercy. That became his conversion. He cried out to God in a storm, and he realized that God had addressed him. God had had mercy on him. Now, he later described this experience by saying, "I, who was a willing slave of every evil, possessed with a legion of unclean spirits," he said that he was spared and he was saved and he was changed to stand as a monument of God's almighty power forever. We find in our passage today another young man who was full of a legion of demons. And I'd like for you to find your place there in Mark chapter 9. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 14 and read down to verse 29. The message today is entitled, "Help My Unbelief." Help My Unbelief. Verse 14 of chapter 9 of the book of Mark, it says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, the scribes disputing with them." Jesus had just come off the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 15, "Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, when the boy saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground, and he wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked the father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.'" Verse 24, "Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. Verse 28, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now the best manuscripts, if you have maybe a different version, they just say, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. And the other passages say that as well. Verse 30, then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. Help my unbelief. This father brought his son to the disciples, and the disciples could not deliver him. And the father, when he realized that Jesus said, if you can believe, then all things are possible to him that believe, he cried out and he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So I want us to look at this message today, help my unbelief. In this passage, we see, first of all, a lack of faith in verses 14 through 19. The people were greatly amazed in verse 15. They came to Jesus. They were greatly amazed. It means they were awestruck. Anytime Jesus is around, we're awestruck, are we not? Jesus can do anything. Jesus always fixes the problem, the true problem. And I just want to say right off the bat in this message that whatever situation you face, you bring it to Jesus. The people were awestruck by Jesus. And they came. They were greatly amazed and awestruck by the Lord. Now, when Jesus said, what are you discussing with them? Notice that the disciples didn't say anything and the scribes didn't say anything. The scribes were disputing with the disciples. And Jesus shows up into the midst of this situation and he asks, what are y'all discussing? Nobody said anything, and all of a sudden the man spoke. And the man says, I brought my son to the disciples, but they could not deliver him. There was a lack of faith, a lack of belief among the disciples. The man says that every time that Satan, he seizes my son and he throws him down. He's trying to destroy my son, and this father was burdened with this issue. And I just want to remind us that we live in a world where Satan is trying to destroy lives, church. The devil wants to dirty up our children and dirty up our society. And I want to remind us that evil is evil. This demon was wanting to destroy this boy. And we see this in our society as well. Satan wants to destroy us. You know, you get a little bit of gossip. And really, you're kind of tantalized by a tidbit of information. Can I tell you this? That evil of gossip will ultimately hurt your life. It'll ultimately ruin you. Some man lusts after a woman. In his mind, he sees someone of beauty. But can I tell you something? Evil is evil. Satan has a plan. He's trying to trap you. Maybe there is a experience of somewhat freedom that you experience when you rebel against the things of God. Can I tell you this? That rebellion is evil. Satan wants to destroy us, and this demon wanted to destroy. Matter of fact, when you get into the original language, it was as if the demon was just bashing this little boy's head against the floor, against a wall. There was no telling how many concussions it had because Satan ultimately wants to destroy. And so this dad brought this boy to the disciples. But the scripture says in verse 18 that they could not heal him. This is what happens to us when we try things without trusting God. Now, church family, listen. Sometimes we come to Christ, we give our lives to the Lord, and we are trusting him, but we forget that daily we must go to him in prayer. Amen. This is really a message about prayer. And can I tell you, as your pastor, I'm under conviction. I am not the person of prayer that I should be. Too often I am doing things in my own strength. Can I just say this to us as a church? We may try to grow this church in our own strength. Because, hey, we're smart, right? We know how to run life groups. We know how to have great worship. We have a good sound system. We have good lighting. But can I tell you this? Unless God's involved, unless we go to God in prayer, nothing of any value really happens. And I think these disciples, you know, they had casted out demons before. Take your Bible, just flip back a few pages to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "And he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." Look at verse 13 in that same chapter 6. It says, "And they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. And yet this time, they couldn't do it." We're going to find out later, they tried to do it without prayer. Now go figure. They tried to cast out demons, and they never prayed. Jesus said, "This only comes out by prayer." You mean to tell me that they would have tried to deliver this boy from demons without ever praying? Hey, before we get on our high horse about those disciples, how much stuff do we try to do without praying? We need to spend time in prayer. Maybe they got comfortable in the power that God had given them. Maybe Jesus, when he says to them, "O faithless generation," in verse 19, "O faithless generation," in other words, a lack of faith and trust in him. Maybe he was thinking about Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 5 and then verse 20. In verse 5 it says, "They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation." Verse 20, "And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith." And he says to them, "O faithless generation," a generation who does not trust in him. If anything is going to be accomplished in our spiritual life, it's going to be because we have faith and trust in the Lord and we take it to him in prayer. He says, "How long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you?" is basically what he's saying. It's an idea of how long will I be face to face with you. Truthfully, church family, Jesus was about to go to the cross and he was trying to prepare them for the time when he would not be with them. They needed to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, and Jesus was not always going to be with them. And so he said, "How long will I be with you?" You see, this is really a rebuke. Jesus is rebuking his disciples. "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." You know, sometimes we need a rebuke, don't we? I tell you, I got a rebuke when I was thinking about our college students. Kelly and I were talking about this. I got a rebuke one time from my mother when I was a student at UF. I was in a class in accounting, and I wanted to drop that class. And I had gone too far, you know, where you could drop it and not blemish your record. And, man, I was not doing well in that class. And so I called my mom wanting sympathy. And I said, "Mom..." You know, I turned on the sweetness as best I could. I said, "Mom, this is Calvin." I said, "Mom, I'm in this really, really tough course. I've got a lot of hours." And I said, "You know, I really think I need to drop this class." She said, "Son," she said, "you stick out that class. You stay with it." I mean, it's like, whoa. Often she was very gracious in the way that she would respond in that way, but at that moment I got sort of rebuked. These disciples, even though the Lord Jesus loved them, the Lord Jesus rebuked them. He said, "How long?" am I going to be with you? I'm not going to be here forever. And you have to put your faith and trust in me. This was a rebuke. They had casted out the demons before, but this time they tried to cast out the demons by their own strength. And the Bible says they could not do it. And following this, when Jesus said this, they ran to the Lord. And they ran to Jesus because they were disappointed in the disciples. So we see, first of all, a picture of a lack of faith. But then here's number two I want you to see. We see an honest faith. Number two, an honest faith. Because here's this dad. In verse 20, then they brought him. Jesus said, bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. Immediately, Satan was not happy. And parent, can I just say this to you? When you have an issue with your children, you bring your children to the Lord Jesus. Now, Satan will not be happy about that. And the Bible says that that demon in that boy convulsed that boy. And the man brought him to Jesus. The man knew that his boy needed help. And in the companion passage of this text in the book of Matthew, the Bible says the man kneeled. That doesn't say it in ours. We have more detail in ours, but that was one detail. It was in the Matthew passage. It says, he kneeled and he called him Lord. And I love this in verse 22. It says, and often he has thrown himself in the fire. And then it says at the end of that verse, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us. That parent had owned the hurt that was in his boy. He had taken ownership and he said, Lord, can you do anything for us? The legion, the demons were not in the dad. The demons were in the boy. But he said to him, have compassion on us and help us. And the word help means to run to our aid. Lord, will you run to our aid? He says, the man said to Jesus, but if you can do anything, can you believe he said that? Boy, this guy's faith was thin. Can you imagine saying to Jesus, Lord, if you could just do anything, would you do it? Well, Jesus basically in his response says this. He says, I'm not the problem. Believe me, I can do it. And in verse 23, he says, if you can believe, he says to that man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And then, I love this, we see an honest picture of faith. By the way, you know what? Our faith in the Lord is not perfect. I've really wrestled with this weekend and this week in studying this. You know, our faith is not perfect. And this man's faith was not perfect, but you know what? It was honest. Could we just be honest with Almighty God today? Could we just be honest with the Lord? Look what he says. When Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24, it says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. I believe. And then he said this, in all honesty, help my unbelief. If you have a smidgen of faith, knowing that Jesus could meet the need of your life, you cry out to God in honest faith. And you say to the Lord, like Newton did in that storm, Lord, have mercy on me. Newton described himself as a profane man who had a legion of demons in himself. He said, I went after evil. And yet in that moment, he sensed God speaking to him. You know, the Bible says this, behold, today is the day of salvation, saith the Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That verse tells me if you feel the slightest desire to give your heart to Jesus Christ, that's not an accident. If you sense a smidgen of faith in you, you cry out to God and you honestly say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's what this man did. Jesus had said, it was almost like Jesus said, if I could do it, are you kidding? He said, I can do it. But he said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus gives hope, doesn't he? Jesus gives hope. And immediately the man cried out. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And when he says, help my unbelief, he says, run. He's telling the Lord, Lord, run to my unbelief. This is the ultimate trust in Jesus, knowing that the Lord will have to help my unbelief. What does the scripture say in Ephesians chapter 2? It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Even our faith is a gift from God. And when God gives you the hope, and he and you sense him speaking to you, you trust him and you give the situation that you face to him, and then say, Lord, in all honesty, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. So we see a lack of faith, we see an honest faith, and then we see, number three, a faithful Lord. In verses 25 through 29, he healed the boy. He healed the boy. And then the disciples came to him and they wanted instruction. And so in verse 28 it says, and when he had come into the house, they got private with just his disciples. His disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. Nothing but prayer. They tried to do it in their own strength. Let me ask you this. What is it that you face, congregation? A husband and a wife are having a serious conversation, but are they praying together about it? It may not be solved in your own. It will not be solved. It may not be solved in your own strength. You need to pray. A brand new student coming to a secular campus with all kinds of pressure upon themselves, but they come without prayer, confronting a wayward child and not praying. Maybe a health issue and not praying. Discouragement and not praying. Direction in life and not praying. Can I say this to you? You cannot do it in your own strength. This passage is a passage calling us to prayer, church family. Because only as we put our faith in Jesus and trust him. Let me say this to you. Prayer is the highway that takes us by faith into the power of God. When you pray, you are trusting in him. You are, by definition, putting your faith and trust in God. And so prayer is the highway that takes us by faith into the power of God. Sometimes prayer is our last resort. But prayer should be our first resort. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, prayer is either your spare tire or it's your steering wheel. Amen. And too often, prayer is our spare tire. When everything else goes wrong, we throw up a prayer. But we ought to go to the Lord in prayer first. It's our steering wheel. In Matthew chapter 17, the companion passage to this, when the disciples came to Jesus, they said, why can we not cast them out? And here's what he said in Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. And then he said this. He said, for assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. The mustard seed was the smallest seed known to these people at this time. I mean, it was just the most puny little seed. Jesus said to them, he said, the reason you couldn't cast out this demon was because of your unbelief. But he said this, if you just had the belief of a little mustard seed. Can I say this to you, whatever you're facing, church family? Maybe you've got a wayward child. Maybe you have difficulty physically. Maybe there is a difficult relationship that you're in. Allow the Lord, take that mustard seed of faith that you have and do like this dad did and just cry out to God. Said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I just believe Jesus was telling his disciples, if you just had the faith of a little mustard seed, you could move an entire mountain. You see, the Father in this story is our example. The Father is our example. He cried out to the Lord, I believe, and he said, help my unbelief. Now, John Newton, the writer of the great hymn Amazing Grace, by 1755, he became disgusted with the slave trade in England. And he got out of it. He worked as a tide surveyor in Liverpool, England. Then he joined the Anglican clergy. He did lectures on Pilgrim's Progress, and a man named William Wilberforce, who was in Parliament, he was a colleague of William Pitt, who was the leader of the Parliament, the Prime Minister. Wilberforce was interested in talking to Newton because Newton had done those lectures on Bunyan, and so he got with Newton. And John Newton, the slave trader, John Newton, the infidel, John Newton, the man who said he was full of demons, he encouraged Wilberforce to stay in the Parliament. And 45 years later, William Wilberforce and his colleagues eradicated the slave trade from England. A friend said to Newton one time of a recent convert, there was a man who had been converted, and this man said, boy, if that man can be converted, then anyone can be converted. And Newton said this in response. He said, I know God can save anyone because he saved me. You think about John Newton, the man who became a pastor in England, in London, the man who wrote one of the greatest hymns we celebrate, Amazing Grace. John Newton, in desperation, said, oh God, have mercy on me. And that little smidgen of belief, Jesus Christ saved him and changed his life. Later he said this, he was in his 80s. He said, my memory is nearly gone. But he said, I do remember two things. He said, I am a great sinner. And he said, Christ is a great Savior. I remember two things. I am a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. I want to encourage you, church family, whatever you face today, be like that dad. You bring your situation, just like he brought his son to Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave him hope. Because can I tell you this? Jesus can do anything. Jesus can change lives. He can change you. He can change the lives of those that you're praying for. But we've got to take it to him in prayer. The disciples had gotten comfortable. And they tried to deliver him without going to him in prayer. And God, Jesus said to the disciples, these only come out by prayer. I'd like for you to bow your heads with me in prayer at this time.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.